Ireland entered into its first lockdown on March 12, 2020, after the arrival of COVID-19 to our shores. With it came the closure of bars and music venues across the country, and ground to a halt the Irish live music industry, affecting thousands of musicians. This 10-part documentary series will tell the stories of 10 such musicians. Some will have had to completely adapt how they perform in a new virtual era, whilst for others they found their services became even more important. Each story is unique and compelling and shows where their love of music began and the resilience of the East Cork music community. After 2 years of lockdowns and restrictions, a new live music landscape has emerged. So can the grassroots musicians of a community filled with musical talent bounce back from the day the music died? Geraldine Lander's music career has spanned over 20 years. Well known in the East Cork area for her solo performances as both an operatic singer and a folk singer, Geraldine is probably best known for her involvement in national competition and choral festivals under the renowned East Cork conductor Mary Petter Daly, who herself has been involved in the music industry for decades.
I suppose for me it started, I can say, in the church, with church music. Yeah, I would have started in joining the choir, and from that then it went to the choir that Mary would have started up in Killa. We had men at the time in that choir, and then it changed. Now we just have the voices, the women. But for me it would have been church, singing in church music. Yeah, singing in the choir in the church.
Jesus, take me as I am.
I'd always be nervous, still, but I love doing it. I love doing it. I love doing it for the people. I do it for myself as well, but for the people. I love to sing for the people because music is great for the soul, I suppose, and we all know that. So I suppose, yeah, for the people, I love doing it. So then that would take you through the song, you know. My father would have been a beautiful singer. And then I remember going to Mass as a young one and going and to Mass for the benediction, you know, and he would be singing, but I would be making up my own words because I hadn't a clue, you know. We didn't know the Latin, so we just made it. But I mean, we sang. But yeah, in our house, there would have been music. Yeah, yeah, we loved music. Like, yeah, yeah. When I started singing, I suppose, I think just Mary actually discovered me first. Was it when I sang? Yeah, literally
when she was
young.
Yeah, young girl. She had this instrument, a voice that was second to none. Huge potential.
Yeah, so Mary saw the potential and then acted on it. And then, sure, from there, we went to choir to singing lessons with Mary and school of music. And yeah, so I was very lucky. I was very lucky.
Jesus, take me as I am.
Performing was always part of it, all right. I can remember as a young child being put up in the chair at home when there was a bit of a sing-song, and, you know, I always wanted to perform. And I'm one of twins, but my other twin didn't want to perform. I was the one that was always running around and performing. Yeah, I loved performing. And then I suppose the music side of things developed then into teaching piano and all this kind of thing. And then the choirs started, and I just loved the idea of conducting and, you know... And the church then was running parallel with that all the time. And then there were studies involved, and it has been my life really, so, you know, so far. But there is another chapter, I suppose, like in the book somewhere, that might be totally different to this. But that's where I did it. And the church, I had a great love of the church always. And it has been... It has been terrific, really, to be involved in the church and to be involved in church music, because it gives so much joy to people. And I suppose nowadays, more than ever, you know, we can uplift the congregation, we can do our best. And it's amazing how the core of the choir, the church choir especially, and the other choir, you know, how they make great friendships and they stick together. And through thick and thin, you know, they will always rally around and turn up. So from that point of view, music has been very good to me and to Ger, and we have, you know, trod the road together for many, many years, and it has been very good to us. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I suppose you realise when people ask you to maybe it might be a funeral or a wedding, and you're like, oh, really? You know, okay, okay. And then you take it on and you're like, okay, this is good, you know. And I suppose that's how it develops. You know, it wouldn't be your full-time job. But yeah, definitely. Now, as I say, I love to sing, so, you know, but when you realise you can make a living from it as well, you know, I mean, it's certainly is, it's fantastic.
In my solitude, you haunt me with reverie of day.
So we, everything on the 13th, that Friday the 13th, everything locked down, as we know, we were told. Kids home from school on the Thursday for 2 weeks, which ended up being a lot more, as we know. But, and the 13th and the 17th, I think both of us were literally telepathically linked, because she was thinking, God, will we go? We went to the church in Killa and we recorded Dochas Ling and Hid Laurie St. Patrick on the 17th.
Yeah.
Just the two of us. She played, we both sang, and we put it up on social media. We got it to the parish Facebook page, I think, or one of those community Facebook page, actually. And yeah, people were like, oh my God, thank you so much. That was so nice, you know, because nobody knew what was coming. We were, you know, we were told 2 weeks, but we didn't know. And at that stage, we didn't know. But yeah, so it was great. We went in for Mother's Day. We went in for, you know, because we weren't, Mass wasn't being streamed in Killa, whereas it was in other churches, you know. So we were, yeah, that's how we kind of stayed in contact with the outside world there.
Yes, and lots of people, as Ger said, you know, they reacted to this. So that was a whole new ball game then again. You know, how could we keep this going and how could we keep the connection? And especially for people who need to connect with their own place. Their own place is so important because they kind of feel connected then. It's a community thing. So yeah. It was eventually then being live streamed and we did masses, funerals and like that. Then again, as you were saying, like, it, you know, it was a different ballgame altogether when it went.
For the mass stuff, yeah. So we just recorded it on my phone, put it in, and that went up on the parish page for everybody to see, for anybody who was on the parish page, for people to see, because I think, you know, the point of contact for people, be it Sunday mass, be it going to a gig, be it going to choir practice just for the chat, it's all about socialising, and all that stopped, you know. And sometimes for older generations, I suppose, mass is a day out. You know, and that stopped, and that was huge. And they might just go to hear the one hymn, or they might just go to hear, but it just all stopped. So we just felt it was a nice thing to do, and people did. Absolutely. And not just, like, you know, you're saying the finance side of it, but I suppose, you know, because of everything stopping, you just feel, Jeannie, like, will I ever again sing? Will anything come back to normal? You know, that's the way you feel. And even going back to the choir with the Zoom calls, it was lovely for the point of contact, but not being able to sing as a group, or it was just, yeah, you just, because we didn't know, you know, we didn't know. So it was just, yeah, it was pure just wondering what was going to happen, you know.
So I suppose we had to invent ourselves then somewhere, or reinvent ourselves somewhere, or think, how are we going to keep going? And in the choir, we did, and in the church, we kept going, even though we were singing to ourselves. The church, or the choirs, we had Zoom sessions, which were, they were great at the time. It kept a core of the group together. You know, be it whatever, we were looking at each other on screens. We couldn't sing together because that just didn't work out on the technology we had at the time. But we got by. We thought of the only ways we could do it, so we decided we'd go on Zoom for as long as was necessary, and we kept it going together, and the choir stayed together, and we kept in contact, because that was the most important thing, to keep the connection going. And that's what we did. So in the church, and lots of people, you know, zoned in on it,
yeah,
from even all over the world, yeah, like they were able to follow it,
yeah.
So it did keep a connection, and it did keep people together somehow or other. No, it certainly has changed people's attitudes, maybe to a point. And then, so we kept going regardless with the church method we did, as you said, on Facebook. But with the other choir, then we just kept together, you know, through the Zoom sessions. And we were just hoping for COVID to lift as soon as possible. But it not only affected, you know, church and all this kind of thing, it affected school plays and kids that had no opportunity to sing and to act and do what their usual Christmas nativity plays and their lovely end of year shows and everything like that. So that was all cut off straight away, and it left a terrible absence of the development for kids to develop, and even to develop new friendships through their talents, and to even find their talents, because kids, you know, don't realise what talents they have until they're kind of put up there, and all of a sudden there's, you know, great kids there. And, you know, performances that we had regularly then in the hall in Killisay, we had what we call Sunday afternoon recitals. That it dealt with the arts, the spoken word, the instrumentals, the singing and everything. And they were all, well, they were great, like, because it brought people together again, but they all stopped. They all stopped, and it was the suddenness of it. And I suppose the fear of COVID as well, that people, like the attitudes of people, they have definitely changed. COVID has changed people, but we survived.
So in the Blackbird in Ballycotton, the third Thursday of every month, we have a folk group. And yeah, it started small, and it's certainly not that anymore. It's fabulous. It's brilliant. We have people from everywhere. singers, musicians, storytellers. It's absolutely fabulous, you know. And when COVID came, it was devastating because it was a night out for so many people, and it might have been their only night out in the month, you know. So yeah, it was absolutely devastating, and even wondering should we come back when we could come back. You were afraid because, you know, you didn't know what if somebody got COVID, you know, from being there, or you were, you know, we had that fear. But once we got up and running, it was like we were never away. Like everybody came back, you know Mary. I mean, Mary sits at the piano there and just plays away as well. So it was like we were never gone. But yet that 2 years were there where we had to just stop. And it was, yeah, it was awful.
I was stuck in study at the time, and because part of the study was performance related, they all went by the board. We did try to do a performance, one of the exams that I tried to do, with masks on. We sang with masks on in an empty auditorium and only had a recorder. It was to be recorded on video for the purpose of the exam, because there could be no audience or whatever, no live examiners, and it just didn't work.
It was pressure alone because, like Mary said, you need the audience, you need the feedback. And then when you didn't have it, for Mary even conducting the choir, for the choir singing, it was like...
It was dreadful, really. Mm. And it was one of the most horrific experiences, and it didn't work. The exam didn't work that day. And it was because of... Well, maybe it was because of other things as well. But it didn't work. So that was a terrible effect of COVID on students, and students as well then who would be doing practicals for their junior cert and leaving cert. That was all, you know, all had to be kind of reorganised again, and they had to go into school maybe during their holidays and just do, you know, in and out. Their time limits were decreased and everything like that. So it affected school.
So we went back to choir fully last September and decided, okay, we're back. And like that again, you know, it was like everybody came back, you know, people missed it so much. It's a true sign that people missed singing and missed interacting when they all come back, you know. And yet we could be talking for the first half hour. But it doesn't matter. We were just there. It's a meeting point as well. And we put an afternoon of music on in Castle Marta Resort, and it was absolutely unbelievable. The buzz there, people were crying out for it. You could see they were crying out for Mary, couldn't you? You know, with the reaction of the audience.
My heart is like a river stream, whose bosom is filled with sweet fruit. My heart is like a rainbow shell that puddles in a house in sea.
was
even like yesterday,
we had a fundraiser for the Turkish-Syrian earthquake appeal in Killa. We started anyway, and the hall was full. And straight away, like, you could feel the buzz that entertainers need to have this buzz beforehand.
They were singing along, you know, and it's lovely to see that again, like the audience.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and it was the atmosphere was terrific. There was great buzz, and they were there coming in. We didn't have enough of seats out for them, which was absolutely wonderful. But so that's the effect that performers, they need that. They need an audience. So I suppose the biggest thing was that people wanted to feel safe. And because it did rear its ugly head every now and again, you know, and you might have heard somebody who might have had COVID, and then it would be a choir member or something, and then this fear would come again. But, you know, I suppose we have been well and truly, you know, vaccinated and all this kind of thing, and you've just got to keep going and hope for the best and take as much caution as you can, even still. But it was just great. Like, and as Ger said, you know, when people come back, it's just the best thing ever, because it just shows that it means something to them. You know, to sing is just not to sing, but there's the social aspect, there's the mental health of people that sing together, there's the friendship and, you know, the camaraderie. And I mean, the Killa Choir, they would have done everything from Fauré's Requiem to what we did yesterday, a Haydn Mass. You know, they would have done such a gamut of great music that they're getting actually very choosy now, the members of the choir. It isn't every old thing they want to sing now anymore. So, I mean, that's wonderful. And I mean, they don't have easy rehearsals, I must say now. They work very, very hard, very demanding stuff. And the thing about it is, they still came back, which was great, absolutely great. But that's really, I suppose, the important thing from the singing point of view. It's health, it's wealth in a way, it's friendship, it's connection, it's education, and it's just giving something to other people. And it's an extension of people's arm of expression, and because people need to express themselves, and they find that in the choir, be it in church music, funerals, weddings, folk clubs, you name it.
I don't know. I suppose when you go somewhere and you hear everything can be different, you know, you can go into, like, I suppose I'll take folk club for an example. Somebody can play the accordion, somebody can sing an opera song, and somebody can sing the Banks. You know, it's about variety. And because you can have variety in one room, like we had yesterday, we had a Haydn Mass.
That's right.
And then we had a variety of everything. You know, and that's just, when you can have that, it's just, it's uplifting, really. It is. Yeah, absolutely.
It is. And music, like, can do so much for people. When they hear a song, they'll associate it with something, or it will bring them back to their childhood, maybe, or bring them back to their teen years, or whatever. Like, music is never ending, and the effects of it are absolutely, you know, a myriad of effects. And it's always alive. There's always something new in music. You know, there are thousands of composers and brilliant songs out there always waiting to be performed and found and sung. And, you know, and then when you have such an age group in your audience, you've got to appeal to the younger people, to the older people. And, you know, so there's so much music out there that means so much to so many people. And you always have to take your audience into consideration. You know, what do they like? What some person might like, as you just said, an operatic aria. Somebody might like a ballad. Like yesterday, we had Mary Black's Walking All the Day as against Velia from The Merry Widow. You know, sung by a 92-year-old, no less. And she was amazing, as was Jeff singing Ave Maria by Schubert. So what I'm saying is, music means so much to different people. Different music means so much to different people. But, you know, a good song, no matter what, will always live on, and it will always resonate with people. And there are people, like, and they may not be able to sing a note, but they just love to listen to music. And because it just can calm them, as I say, bring back memories to them, of happy days, maybe of sad days that they would need to remember as well. But music is a live medium whereby it can give such enjoyment, and, you know, it's just so good for people's health, mentally, physically as well, to sing. So music will never die, and the love of music it will always be there, no matter what, whether it is opera or ballads or whatever.
The Day the Music Died was made with the support of the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland under Sound and Vision programming to support the live music sector.